Well, it's my pleasure to have on the air with me this afternoon one of the most influential broadcasters in America, Tom Joyner. Tom, being a radio broadcaster at one time, having owned over 57 radio stations in America, he's a great gentleman, a great man of the radio, and a man that I respect and have a lot of respect for, Tom Joyner. And Tom, we're talking about a subject today that has just come out, and it's sort of captured the spotlight has been forced down on North Carolina and from the nation and also overseas. So this is maybe one of the top stories in America. It's about the LGBT movement in America. And so a lot of folks don't understand it. I've talked to people recently that college degrees that do not understand the LGBT movement. So to make sense of all of this and why it's happening in the state of North Carolina, I don't know of anybody that has more credentials to talk about it. And my friend, and that's you, Tom Joyner, so come on in and say hello.
Well, Carl, I do understand the issues of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender movement. House Bill 2 simply bans individuals from using public bathrooms and locker rooms that do not correspond to their biological sex, pure and simple. Now, it's long been acknowledged that men and women have differences physically. Privacy is the major issue here. We have to recognize that only 3.8% of Americans identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. 1.7% identify themselves as gay or lesbian. 1.8% identify themselves as bisexual, and just 0.3% identify themselves as transgender. As for the latest uproar about transgenders in House Bill 2, 0.3% means that 99.7% must give up their rights to privacy to allow this 0.3% to freely walk into women's restrooms and locker rooms. Now, to add insult to injury, North Carolina Attorney General Roy Cooper says he will not defend the law passed in North Carolina. Cooper believes that he can pick and choose which of the laws to defend, but North Carolinians put Cooper into office to defend assaults on all of our laws, not just those that he does not personally agree with. Cooper is running for governor, and it seems that he's willing to cater to any perversion that might gain him votes. But I believe it will cost him votes instead. Now, the LGBT community does not want tolerance. That's not what they're after. They want the rest of us to appreciate their lifestyle. Allowing pedophiles, perverts, and predators with male sexual parts to invade women's restrooms and locker rooms defies common sense, and it puts women and children in danger. Remember, if House Bill 2 was overturned, this would also apply to elementary, middle school, and high schools. Your young children could be captive to anyone with male parts who wishes to expose themselves. Now, I don't support discrimination by anyone against anyone. But this issue is not before us in a vacuum. It is just one more step on the stairway to hell that we have been descending upon for the past 50 years. Now, my Monday commentary here on WTSB will address the assault on morality by those of us who are ignorant or who are part of the movement to destroy us from within. The liberal governor of New York and of Vermont, the mayor of San Francisco, and a few other politicians and companies have banned travel to North Carolina amid their hissy fit. They seek to force the 99.7% of North Carolinians to bow to the wishes of the 0.3% of transsexuals. Folks, you don't take apart a car motor with one action. and you don't take apart a country with one action. It is the cumulative effect of many singular actions that culminate in the desired goal. If a transgender person honestly believes themselves to be of the opposite sex, there are ways and means to surgically reverse their genitalia. But if someone keeps their male sexual parts, they have no business exposing themselves in a women's restroom or locker room. Discrimination? How about the overwhelming numbers of women and children who would be discriminated against by being forced to allow men with male genitalia access to their privacy? It does not matter what a person thinks they are. What matters is what they are. Any time that the ACLU and David Price unite, society suffers. Carl?
Okay, well, thank you very much there. I'll take a moment out here in about 5 minutes. And in the meantime, I want the world to know that Tom Joyner is one of the most educated, one of the best broadcasters in America. And you might think all this is written down. Tom is ad-libbing today off the top of his head. I don't see how he does all those things, but you just tell your friends when Tom Joyner's on the airwaves of WTSB, we've got one of the greatest broadcasters in America. And Tom, we appreciate your talents. You're a gentleman to be respected, and I respect you very much. And we're talking today about the LGBT movement in America. You're absolutely right. And we might get around talking about Hillary and the article in the Daily Mirror today, if we get time. So, but on this LGBT thing, I stand behind the governor, and I don't see how Roy Cooper, he was sworn to uphold the laws of North Carolina. He's not going to prosecute those people that violated. And if I stand up today behind the governor, I'm very proud to mention that today.
I stand up behind the governor as well, Carl. You know, we hear these people say, well, there are not that many transgenders who are perverts or predators. We hear of people who are going around taking pictures with mirrors and cameras up the skirts of women in supermarkets. In supermarkets. Now we're talking about allowing them into restrooms where little girls are, where women are, my mother, your mother, our wife, our sisters. We're talking about allowing somebody with male genitalia to freely access that restroom. It makes absolutely no sense. And frankly, it's just one more step on our degradation. Now, Carl, on Monday, I'm going to have a pretty hard-hitting commentary at 3:15 here on WTSB that talks about the moral degeneration of America and where we are today. And this is just part of that. This is not something that stands alone. It's not just a one issue. It is part of the whole picture. And the whole picture is to develop a move against this country to defeat it from within. Now, a lot of people have heard that. You know, that all our enemies want to defend us from within. But it comes so slowly, Carl. It's like taking a frog and putting that frog in a pan of water that's cold. The frog doesn't really mean too much with that. He's not that concerned. You turn the heat on underneath, and it slowly begins to heat. And then it begins to boil, and then the frog is dead. That's what's happening to our country.
Amen. And I've read some news today I'll just share with you here. This is, I'm looking now at the Daily News. That is the front page of a daily newspaper. I think, yes, Daily News has to be a daily newspaper in New York City. And they're sort of jumping on this fellow, the battery rep for Trump thug. I don't think the gentleman was a thug. I've seen that video about three times, and That lady was just slightly brushed, in my opinion. There's another thing in the New York Daily News that says that even if Bernie Sanders wins, they've got enough super votes to override that. They sort of indicate or sort of allege that they will go to any means to save the election for Hillary Clinton. I found out today what crock means. It means lies. I never knew that. I've heard the expression many, many times. And I looked it up today on the Internet, crock votes, and they're votes made up of lies. So anytime you hear the word crock, it's a pack of lies, and that's what's happening. Super delegates that will win the day for Hillary Clinton, according to the Daily News. And so we just see a culture in America. And, you know, most of these people, and I figured out, well, the Communist Manifesto back in 1927 alluded that the communists would take over the world by infiltrating the ministry, by the entertainment media, by teachers and people like that. And I can tell you, Tom, and I think you know this as well as I, in the past few months, Fox News has lost 50% of its viewers. And it all started, I think, my guess, I'm alleging anyway, when Megyn Kelly and Donald Trump had that confrontation several months back. But we're, like you say, slowly, like the frog, losing America, and the people had better wake up, and they don't have much time to wake up. And Tom, tell us a little bit more.
Well, you're right, Carl, and the situation with Megyn Kelly, if you listen back and look back at what happened, Trump was there. She and Douglas, as a matter of fact, ganged up on Trump. Now, you know, whether you like Trump or don't like Trump, fair is fair. And they had this thing. They were just it was their agenda, and they jumped him. And from there, it has been just constant. Over and over again, whether you like Trump or loathe Trump, if you repeat, and the Nazis told us this, Goering told us this, if you repeat something often enough, people will believe it. And so when you hear them saying, Trump is against women, he's this, he's that, they've been saying that since the very beginning of this. Now, I'm not extolling Trump today. I am saying that our process has dissolved into a cesspool. We have people arguing every day about whose wife did this and whose wife did that. And by the way, interestingly enough, when it was suggested by Cruz's people that they post these pictures of Trump's wife when she was a model, and by the way, that's what models do, and then Trump struck back, and Trump said that Cruz had had 5 illicit affairs. True or false? I don't know. Most people don't know. But when Cruz was asked about it, had he cheated on his wife, he would not answer the question. In the meantime, his wife has canceled some of her all of her appearances. And we now hear that his wife was found by police some years back, sitting curbside about 10 feet from traffic with her head in her hands. Why? What had she been told? Why was she so despondent? I don't know. I don't know if this is true about Cruz, but I'll tell you one thing. If somebody asked me about that, I would give them an answer, and I'd give them a quick answer. But he hasn't done that. So we've got so many issues before us that mean nothing. If Trump's wife posed erotically in her job as a model, if Cruz has been has infidelity in his past, that's between them and their wives. It should not be the primary thing that drives an election for president of the United States. Good Lord, look back at what Bill Clinton was. I mean, it's just so silly that we're arguing on these kind of things today. But when we get into this issue of transgenders, and we look at the fact that there's only 0.3% of people who are transgender, to be arguing over whether they should be to walk into a restroom, unzip their flop in front of children and our wives and mothers is ridiculous.
Amen. So you stand by. I'm going to catch up on a couple of messages here that I need to pass along to the good listeners of WTSB. And this time I'm just stepping up to the microphone to talk about Brightleaf hot dogs made right here in North Carolina, made right here in Johnston County at Carolina Packers Incorporated. And we're pleased to say that many, many millions of hot dogs have been sold recently. We just had a big Easter egg hunt celebration, and most people had a hot dog party after that. And I would imagine that most people enjoyed Brightleaf hot dogs. So the idea here that I'm trying to promote is that everybody ought to eat Brightleaf hot dogs, because not only are they good, they're outright delicious, and there's no hot dog anywhere that can, in many people's opinion, compare to a Brightleaf hot dog. And goodness grows in North Carolina, and goodness just happens to be Brightleaf products, and especially a Brightleaf hot dog.
Good things are grown in North Carolina, from the Smoky Mountains to the beaches and the sea. Good things are grown in North Carolina. Good things are grown for you and me.
For food and fiber, thank the good Lord and our farmers. And remember this,
good things are grown for you and me.
Well, I've been knowing the Barefoot family for a long, long time, and the Barefoot family brought Holt Lake Barbecue and Seafood into existence many years ago, and Mr. Terry Barefoot down there right now would like for me to just invite you, everybody tuned in here today, to come on out after 4 o'clock for the supper time, dinner time menu, and we'll have barbecue chicken at a very special low price, and we cook it in such a way that you can eat it with a fork. We have some fresh garden vegetables. We have the best barbecue, and often judged as one of the top 10 barbecue establishments in the state of North Carolina. So tonight, call up a friend or two and get together down at Hope Lake Barbecue and Seafood and talk about Tom Joyner and Carl Lamb and WTSB, and talk about the great country we live in, and talk about the fact that if we don't wake up, we just might lose it one day. I hope not, but if we have Tom Joyner leading the charge, I think we got a good chance of saving America for the Americans. But Tom, it's going to take some people waking up.
Well, Carl, there were two things. One, when you mentioned Brightleaf hot dogs, that's kind of hard to beat. The other thing you mentioned was the Barefoot family, and I know who you were talking about, but it you know, it harkened back to my days, and I thought, holy moly, he's about to talk about my family. Because we always got rid of the shoes as soon as summer came along, try to save the shoes, and went barefoot. But this is much ado about nothing, Carl. It's just something people are trying to stir up. You know, when you look at New York, where Cuomo says, don't, you know, we're going to ban travel to North Carolina. Well, I'm not going to New York. And I would urge people to not go to New York, even if you've made plans to go. Cancel those plans. I mean, it works both ways. But Andrew Cuomo is a left-wing liberal who supports Obama and who supports Hillary Clinton, and that's reason enough for me not to go to New York.
Well, I think if it came right down to it, I think New York needs North Carolina a lot more than North Carolina needs New York.
And frankly, New Yorkers are coming to North Carolina in record numbers to establish residence, to get out of the high taxes, to get away from the liberalism, to get away from the hustle and bustle that goes on there. So Andrew Cuomo is just blowing smoke.
Amen. Well, have Tom John on the line with us this afternoon. We've been talking about the controversy that recently came to life here in North Carolina when they talked about the LGBT community and the fact that McCrory has one set of beliefs, and their Attorney General Roy Cooper has another set of beliefs, and this thing will play out. But right now, the spotlight is on the Tar Heel State, and it's kind of fascinating in one way, but it's kind of silly in another way. But Tom Joyner is a man that thinks things through, and he's going to have a good commentary for us next Monday. Tell us about that again.
Well, we've been, our country for the last 50 years in particular, has been morally going bankrupt. And I point out the many, many ways that that has occurred. It is, I think, is a hard hitter, and I think it is something people are going to want to listen to, and I hope they will at 3:15 next Monday. You know, Carl, I don't believe that Roy Cooper believes in what he is saying now. I think he is pandering politically. Roy Cooper does not want his wife or his children exposed to someone coming into their bathroom of the opposite sex and exposing themselves. If he does, I'd love to hear him say that. But otherwise, I don't think he believes what he's saying. I think he is saying it for political reasons.
Okay, that's a good thought and a good idea that you presented here. We're talking to Tom Joyner now. Tom is on with us once, twice a week, and we're hoping to get him on more often throughout these crucial days of the campaign coming up. And we've got a country to save, or we've got a country to lose here. And, you know, you think a lot about the countries that have gone down throughout the world. Most of them have fallen from the weight of sin, but the Roman Empire, as you know, the Gibbons and his history of the Gibbons' history of the Roman Empire, the fall of the Roman Empire, the people back in those days, the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. There was practically at one time no divorce in the Roman Empire, but that became rapid, and divorce and slowly, bit by bit, the Roman Empire fell, and no shot was fired against it. It fell of its own sin, its own weight, its own people. I guess you might say politicians got more crooked, and the people were not given the justice they deserved.
And really, they accepted more and more foreigners into their army, Carl, and until they had such a substantial number of foreigners who were not willing to fight for the country, that the Roman Empire collapsed. These things, again, don't happen in a vacuum. It takes many issues. It takes, you know, one little rock isn't going to cause a stream to be dammed up. Two rocks? No. Five rocks? No. A million rocks? The water can't get through. That's what we've been into in our country. One drop, two drops, and each time liberals say, oh, wait, that's just a video, or that's just a movie. All of these things culminate in where we are today, and I'm going to talk about that more next Monday, because I don't see us coming out from under that unless people are willing to stand up, speak up, and change the way our country is operating.
I would certainly agree with that. And, you know, if you look back to when we began the moral decline in this country, different people will pick different situations. But I think when we had the assassination of John F. Kennedy, I think that was maybe the first signs, because until that time, the Democratic Party was very, very conservative. Everybody in the South I knew were conservative, and they were members of the Democratic Party. As a matter of fact, I grew up in a town called Spring Hope, and to my knowledge, there was only one family in the town of Spring Hope that voted Republican. The rest of the families in Spring Hope, Nash County, voted democratically. So we've seen a turnaround. The Democratic Party is not what it used to be. I remain a Democrat, but I vote conservative. The reason I remain a Democrat, I think I can better criticize the party and maybe can have some influence as to reshaping that party, bringing it back to what it used to be. I would like to see the Democratic Party come back and be the Democratic Party that it was many, many years ago. So that's why I'm still a Democrat, and that's why I'm voting conservatively, because I think that is the way to restore great values that we once held in America.
Carl, there are many, many conservative Democrats in North Carolina. I know many of them. I grew up in a family of Democrats, by the way. But the Democrat Party at that time was so much different than the Democrat Party today of Barack Obama, Harry Reid, and Hillary Clinton. So there's nothing wrong with being a Democrat. There's everything wrong with going against your country and supporting people in the Democrat Party who are so far left-wing and so far removed from the reality of where we need to be as a country.
Okay, I'll ask you a simple question here. Was it a good idea when we created NAFTA, I guess, sending all of our plants down to Mexico, was that a good idea or a bad idea?
Oh, Carla, it was an awful idea. And it's also an awful idea to leave these loopholes on the books that allow our large corporations to operate offshore, to move their plants to Mexico or to Vietnam or to China and get that cheap labor. And by the way, those people are being oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
When you pay them 50 cents a day or a dollar a day, those people are being oppressed. And so when you move our plants there, and take away from the ability of the American people to support themselves and their families, it was an awful idea, and one that I wish we could reverse, that I think we may be able to reverse, but not under the Obama-Clinton administration.
Okay, we have a great friend, Beasley, George Beasley,
yes.
down in
yes.
Florida. He's hoping to have a kidney transplant sometime in the future. Where does how does he get along? What is his status today?
I heard from George yesterday, Carl. To quickly recap, George Beasley put WPYB in Benson on the air. He was a principal at Meadow School. He risked everything he had to try to get that little radio station going, and from there he's grown to be one of the biggest, or maybe the biggest, individual owner of radio properties in the United States. He once owned the NBC affiliate here, Channel 17 in Raleigh. But George is a prime example of someone who had nothing, who brought themselves up by their bootstraps and frankly had to borrow bootstraps in order to be able to pull them up. But George lives now in Naples, Florida. He has great ties to North Carolina, owns many radio stations here, particularly down in the Greenville, New Bern area. But he's doing as well as can be expected. He had to go on dialysis because his kidneys shut down on him while he was waiting to try to get this transplant. When you're 84, and George will be 84 on the 9th of April, frankly, when you're 48, this kind of operation is really rough. When you're 84, you can't get a kidney through the national organization because they consider you too old. You've got to find your own. Well, his son, Brad, who is the next to the youngest, turns out to be a perfect match. And so they're waiting now for Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, to establish a time for them to come up and go through this operation. I know that it weighs on George because you worry about whether or not you're going to, one, go through the operation and emerge from it, or two, is your body going to accept it at this stage of life? So I do ask for prayers from everybody that George Beasley will have his operation, that it will be successful, that he will return to a quality of life, and frankly, that he and his wife Ann and me and my wife Ann can hit the road again, as Willie Nelson said.
Okay, well, that's a great idea. One question, we've got about a minute or so left up there, and I have often told my friends and my family members that radio is just as impactful as television. Now, a lot of people don't understand that, but being a man that has owned 57 radio stations, being on the radio for years and years, being a talk show host even before the days of Rush Limbaugh, you know something about the psychology of radio. Now, I say more people know about the psychology of newsprint than they do of radio, but you being a man of radio, and I am too, do you agree with me that radio is just as impactful as television? And I think we've got to let people know this throughout the United States, because a lot of people don't know this, and radio gets the short end of the stick sometimes, but agree with me?
It's more impactful, Carl. Let me give you a quick visual. I used to rush home as a young boy to listen to The Lone Ranger. It was a five-minute program in those days brought to us by Merita Bread. And I would rush home to hear that. And my mind's eye pictured the Lone Ranger. When television came along, the Lone Ranger was just like anybody else. He was no longer 10 feet tall. He was no longer impenetrable. The Lone Ranger was just another human being. Radio is the imagination. Radio allows you to think. Television gives you images, some good, some bad. But radio has always been and will always be the imagination of the people. And it is as strong today and stronger, frankly, than it has ever been.
I certainly agree with that. I'm glad to get it from an expert here, but I'm going to keep preaching that idea because it is the truth. You're absolutely telling us the truth about that. So people need to kind of support their hometown radio stations. Some people don't realize the power and the influence and the impact of a good radio station, and you do.
I do indeed, Carl, and I hope everybody will listen on Wednesday at 3:15. Because it's a very, very heartfelt presentation that I'm going to do. I've always been a Christian since the very young days of my life. Frankly, the church was a place that I could go and have some sanctuary. My upbringing was such that my mother and father had alcohol problems, and which, God bless them, they resolved in later years. But that was a sanctuary for me. But I have never really spoken out that much in defense of God, and I am turning the page and have turned the page, and you'll hear Monday how far I've turned the page. So I hope you'll listen on Monday, and Carl, God bless America.
God bless you, and God bless America, and God bless the freedom that we enjoy today, and may it never, never die, not in my lifetime.
The opinions, thoughts, and ideas expressed on today's program were those of the participants and not necessarily those of the staff and management of WTSB.